Hello there. This is Krista with episode number 65 on the Wag Out Loud podcast. Did you know that foxtail plants can be deadly to your dogs? The barbed seed heads of the foxtail plant can work their way into any part of your dog, from the nose to between the toes, inside the ears, eyes, genitals, and mouth. And they won't come out on their own and can eventually burrow into the brain, spine, eardrums, lungs, really anywhere. So be sure to examine your dog's coat, especially during foxtail season, and especially if you've gone walking in open fields. Welcome to the Wag Out Loud podcast, where we are obsessed with bringing you helpful tips on canine healthcare, nutrition, and overall well-being. If you'd like to support the show, check out the amazing online events, products, and resources that I personally recommend on the Wag Out Loud website. I'm your host, Krista, and I'm super excited to be bringing you yet another tail wagging episode. Thanks to our sponsor, Canonine CBD Oil for Dogs. It's one of the very few CBD products that I feel confident in recommending, and here's why. It's full spectrum, 100% THC free, and made with all organic, non-GMO, human-grade ingredients. Their certificate of analysis are publicly available. Each batch is third-party tested 4 times before it ships to you to ensure quality, safety, and potency. And Canonine CBD Oil for Dogs is made right here in the USA, with every purchase providing meal donations to shelter dogs in need. So far, they've been able to feed over 600,000 shelter dogs. What a great program. Check out all of the quality Canonine products and help your dog find relief at canonine.com. And be sure to use the code WAG20 for 20% off plus free shipping. And all that comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Hello, dog lovers. I am so honored to have America's favorite veterinarian, Dr. Gary Richter, on the show. He has been practicing veterinary medicine in the San Francisco Bay Area since 1998. He is a certified acupuncturist, also certified in chiropractic and Western herbology. Dr. Richter's practice focuses on the benefits of both conventional and holistic treatment methods for the preventative and therapeutic care of pets, as well as educating professionals and pet owners on the benefits of integrative care. Dr. Richter was named Holistic Veterinarian of the Year for 2019 by the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association. He is currently the president of the American College of Veterinary Botanical Medicine, and he is also a founding member of the Veterinary Cannabis Society. And Dr. Richter is also a number one Amazon best-selling author of the book, The Ultimate Pet Health Guide. Dr. Richter, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we first have to find out, do you currently have a dog?
I have 2 dogs.
Oh, tell us about them.
I have 2 dogs, Marty and Sammy. They are brothers. They are Shih Tzus. So they are little flurfy dogs that really enjoy nothing more than sort of hanging around on the couch.
Wonderful.
They're good dogs for the current social isolation thing.
Yes,
they're
absolutely.
They're perfectly happy to be on the couch.
They love having you home, I'm sure.
They do.
Well, we are going to talk about how to treat your dog holistically and successfully. So, Dr. Richter, why don't we start the conversation with the difference between holistic and conventional veterinary medicine?
Okay. Conventional, both medicine in general and veterinary medicine, really focuses on pharmaceuticals, surgery, these sorts of modalities. And you know, I think the main difference between holistic medicine and conventional medicine is conventional Western medicine has a real propensity to sort of view a patient as a collection of symptoms. So, you know, if there's a symptom or a problem, you treat that symptom until it goes away. Frequently, we're not actually treating the patient as a whole. with Western medicine. Now, from a holistic perspective, that's exactly what we're doing, is we're, rather than looking at the patient as a collection of symptoms, we're looking at them as an entire entity. So in addition to alleviating symptoms, holistic medicine aims to support their body as a whole and facilitate healing from within.
Okay. And would you say that the words holistic and alternative and integrative, are those all interchangeable?
Not exactly. They're all sort of related. So, you know, holistic, as I said, is really looking at treating the patient as a whole. Integrative medicine, which is really what I do, is really sort of the art and science of combining Western medicine along with holistic medicine. You know, another term that people sometimes get confused with is homeopathy. Mm-hmm. Homeopathy is a very specific branch of holistic medicine. Quite frankly, there are people who believe in it and people who don't. But regardless, homeopathy is its own very specific thing, and it could be included within holistic medicine, but homeopathy and holistic medicine are not the same thing.
Okay, thanks for that clarification. All right, so we're going to go back to holistic. If a holistic practitioner is interested in working on the whole animal, so they're keeping in mind not only the medical history, but maybe genetics, nutrition, environment, family relationships, stress levels, is more time spent with an animal in holistic care versus conventional?
As a general rule, yes. I mean, most conventional general practices, you know, their appointments are usually somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes long. All of our initial holistic assessments at our office are at least an hour. If they're coming in for like physical therapy or some sort of, you know, to treat some sort of injury, the initial appointments are generally 90 minutes. It's a more involved process. It's a more comprehensive analysis of what's going on with the animal as a whole. So yeah, it does take a bit more time.
Okay. And what made you want to practice holistic medicine?
You know, I mean, I got started down this pathway because I got tired of seeing where the end of the road, if you will, is when it comes to Western medical therapy. So, you know, for example, if I had a patient that had kidney failure, you know, there's a list of things that you can do from a Western medical standpoint, after which there's nothing left to do. And I didn't particularly like having to have that conversation with people to say, I'm sorry, there's nothing else we can do. And it led me to look for other alternatives. And what I found was, is that there are absolutely alternatives out there that I was not taught about in veterinary school. Many of them have both scientific basis behind them, as well as in some cases, thousands of years of usage history. And many of these treatments work in ways that Western medicine does not. And I've found that, you know, I can keep my patients happy and healthy for longer than I ever could using just Western medicine alone.
What would the circumstances be for conventional medicine? Would it be what you mentioned, you know, surgery, that kind of thing?
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, there's no holistic, generally speaking, there's not a holistic medicine sort of alternative to surgery. There are occasions when you know, there may be some things that we can do to sort of avoid a surgery. But in general, I mean, if the patient needs surgery, that's just the thing that's going to have to happen. But, you know, I mean, for me, for an integrative practitioner, sort of the judgment is, you know, what are the modalities that are going to best serve this animal at any given time? And, you know, that's really where the art of it all comes in, is sort of determining, you know, what we pull from Western medicine, what we pull from holistic medicine to achieve the best outcome.
Love that. So what are some of the reasons why people should consider holistic treatments for their dogs? What benefits would they see?
Well, I mean, as I say, I mean, in a lot of cases, there are things that holistic medicine can achieve that Western medicine cannot. In addition to that, as a rule, side effects of holistic treatments are usually minimal, if at all present, whereas, you know, side effects from pharmaceuticals or sort of downsides of surgery, if you will, I mean, those are all very real things. Now, again, I realize that I very much practice, integrative medicine. So Western medicine is part of what I do. So I don't want to turn anybody away from Western medicine. It's really more a question of, I don't think that we should focus on one side or the other, like only Western medicine or only holistic. It's a question of looking at the entire scope of options and alternatives out there. What are the things that are going to work best in any particular given situation?
Right. That makes sense. And I would imagine that since a lot of people are more educated about alternatives now and holistic veterinary medicine, is it becoming more accepted and mainstream?
Well, I think it's definitely something that more and more pet owners are looking for. From a veterinary profession standpoint, it's still a relatively small population of us in the profession that practice this way, as is the case in the human medical field. The majority of the profession is still very firmly rooted in conventional medical care. But there are more and more people out there that people can turn to for this kind of care.
Great. And how would you address people that comment that say, oh, holistic medicine is woo-woo and it really isn't backed by true science?
It really sort of depends a little bit on what those people are referring to. One of my jobs as an integrative veterinarian is to make sure that the kind of treatments that we offer at Holistic Veterinary Care are treatments that do have solid scientific backing. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, there are treatments out there that are woo-woo, that have no solid evidence behind them whatsoever. And that's part of the problem when people sort of take matters into their own hands and use Dr. Google to try and figure out how to treat their pet. But yeah, I mean, it's a question of really sticking to things that we have real evidence are going to be effective.
Yep. So can you share some of the different types of holistic therapies and how they would benefit a dog's health?
It very much depends on what's being treated, but for example, there's acupuncture, herbal therapy, chiropractic care. We do hyperbaric oxygen therapy in this office, laser therapy, electromagnetic field therapy. There's a lot of different modalities that can be very beneficial. And like I say, I mean, it's just very, very dependent on exactly what's going on with the animal, not only from the standpoint of what their diagnosis is, but also the bigger picture issues of, what is their health like overall? How old are they? What's their lifestyle? I mean, all of this has to come into play when we decide sort of which specific treatments are appropriate for that individual.
Well, I just literally an hour ago had my dog. He was adjusted for a chiropractic treatment for the first time in his life, and I was just so fascinated. She did the adjustment and used cold laser as well. And
fantastic.
I'm really excited. Yeah. So
that's great.
Okay. This is a topic near and dear to my heart. Would you agree that the foundation to health is nutrition?
Oh, absolutely.
And what do you recommend when it comes to feeding our dogs?
Well, I mean, it's going to be a little bit different for individuals, but speaking in bigger picture terms, I always prefer that animals be eating a fresh whole food diet. So in other words, not highly processed foods like dry food or canned food. It's pretty well established in the scientific literature that those foods are not ideal nutrition for many, many reasons. And as is the case with people, we all know that the more fresh whole foods that we eat and the less processed foods that we eat, the better off we're going to be. It's certainly no different than it is, for our pets. It's just that we have become very accustomed to going to the pet store and buying a bag of brown nuggets and giving them to the dog. But I mean, is that really what they should be eating? No.
Right. And we've had guests on in the past that we talk about processed food and how it causes inflammation. And I mean, there really is no advantages. And dogs are actually lacking in a lot of the nutrients that they need to thrive. And I'm huge into the microbiome of the gut and the immune system. So yeah, you're speaking my language. So thank you.
Sure.
How about supplements? Do you think most dogs need additional supplementation if they're on a whole food diet?
You know what? I mean, if they're on a whole food diet, I think they need less by way of supplementation than they would if they were eating dry food or canned food. But that said, I think there's always an opportunity to up-level nutrition. And really, that goes sort of beyond vitamin and mineral content. You know, there are other herbs, other supplements out there that can be supportive of immune health, can be supportive of organ function. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there that almost any dog or any cat would potentially benefit from.
Okay. Do you think that a lot of people turn to holistic therapies maybe as a last resort, that Western medicine could not heal their dog's illness, so they're looking for, you know, one last chance?
You know, I mean, unfortunately, that is a very true statement. You know, as a colleague of mine once said, holistic practitioners were generally either people's first stop or their last. And really, you're right. I mean, a lot of people come because they've exhausted everything else and nothing's been working. Those can sometimes be very difficult situations because frequently we're talking about an animal that has, you know, an advanced stage of some sort of disease. Clearly, the more ideal situation would be the people who were their first stop. So they come in with a healthy dog or a healthy cat and say, how do I keep them healthy? That's a much easier road to go down, and it's also worth saying a much less expensive road to go down.
Sure. And Dr. Richter, what is your position on vaccines?
You know, vaccines without question have a place in veterinary medicine. Anybody that's ever seen a dog die from parvo or distemper or a cat with panleukopenia knows the benefit of vaccines. That said, I do think the veterinary industry does hold some responsibility for promoting over-vaccination of animals. You know, the truth of the matter is for most things that you would vaccinate a dog or a cat for, once their body has developed immunity to that disease as a result of being vaccinated, in many cases, they only need to be revaccinated seldom in their lifetime or frequently not at all. There are a couple of exceptions to that rule. Generally speaking, things that are being given to prevent bacterial diseases rather than viral. So for example, things like Bordetella or leptospirosis in dogs, those vaccines do not confer immunity for as long as, say, the viruses would, like rabies, distemper, parvo, that sort of thing. So yes, animals absolutely should be vaccinated when they're young. Do they need to be vaccinated every year thereafter? Almost exclusively, no.
Mm-hmm. So you are a fan of titers, correct?
I am absolutely a fan of vaccine titers.
Okay, great. And I am intrigued with, I don't know when you have time to sleep because it seems like you're so busy. You are the president of the American College of Veterinary Botanical Medicine. Can you explain to us what botanical medicine is in the veterinary world?
Sure. I mean, botanical medicine refers to medicines that are derived from whole plants. So anybody that's familiar with Chinese herbs or Western herbology or Ayurvedic medicine, or pretty much name your indigenous culture and their particular system of natural medicine, that's really what we're looking at. So, you know, whereas pharmaceuticals, you know, what a pharmaceutical does is they take one chemical compound and isolate it and then give that as a medicine. Botanical medicine looks towards the benefits of what's present in the whole plant medicine. So all of the various chemical compounds that occur in a plant, which very frequently have a more broad effect with far fewer side effects.
Okay. And would that include essential oils as well?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then you're also a founding member of the Veterinary Cannabis Society. How are you seeing, because I live in Colorado, so CBD is huge here.
Yeah.
Is the landscape changing daily?
Sometimes it feels that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a needless to say, a lot of discussion and a lot of confusion as it pertains to the use of cannabis in animals. And also as it pertains to what the veterinarian's role is in cannabis medicine for animals. You know, and part of this is a function of education, making sure both veterinarians and pet owners understand what is safe, making sure they understand what cannabis can do and what it can't do. There's another facet of all of this, which revolves around research, because there's an awful lot that we don't know as it pertains to cannabis in animals. And then, you know, the third leg of all of this is the legislative end of it.
Yep.
Meaning that in many states, in fact, in most states, even states that have cannabis laws, it is illegal for veterinarians to discuss the use of cannabis with pet owners. In fact, in California, we finally got a law passed that just went into effect this year that for the first time for any state in the country would allow veterinarians to discuss the use of cannabis with pet owners. Prior to that, from a legal standpoint, you know, if you came into my office, what I was supposed to tell you was, I'm sorry that I can't talk to you about this. You should go figure it out somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Plus, it's not a regulated industry. So one product that contains cannabis is going to be totally different from another product.
That's exactly right. And part of that stems from the fact that because the government and the FDA is not recognizing cannabis as a medicine, there's no regulations on how it's produced.
So is your organization trying to change that?
Yes. I mean, we're working towards all three of those things: education, research, and legislative advocacy to protect animals and pet owners and veterinarians.
Thank you. That's exciting. Somebody's got to do it. Appreciate it.
This is true.
What does the future hold for holistic veterinary medicine? Do you think that more integrated practices are looking to offer more types of treatments, or are they pretty much sticking to the current offerings?
Speaking as somebody who goes to the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association's conference every year, every year there's more people at that conference. It gets bigger and bigger every year. So without a doubt, there is a growing population of veterinarians out there who are practicing this way. And also, you know, what we're seeing is we're seeing more veterinary specific research when it comes to natural medicine as well, which is great, because when we have these research trials, it makes it much easier to sort of have a conversation with a conventional Western veterinarian about how and why something works. So that is all a plus. So, I mean, is it growing as fast as I would like it to? Clearly not. But it absolutely is moving in the right direction.
Yay, that's promising. And what's the best way to find a holistic veterinarian?
The best way to find somebody, if you don't know anyone in your area, the Holistic Veterinary Medical Association website, which is ahvma.org. If you go on their website, there is a Find a Vet tab. Click on that and you can put where you live and it will list out the AHVMA members that are closest to you.
Great. And since we're coming to a close, do you, off the top of your head, have any success stories of patients that have turned around on holistic medicine?
Oh, sure. There's endless stories. I mean, we see a lot of animals that come into the office with severe arthritis and pain that are either not well controlled on pharmaceuticals, or for some reason they can't take the pharmaceuticals. You know, very frequently through a combination of things like herbs, acupuncture, laser therapy, etc., we're able to get these animals up and walking and moving. We've seen a lot of improvements and a lot of successes with patients that have things like kidney disease or seizure disorders. You know, we treat a lot of cancer patients, and while certainly, you know, I'm not going to claim to have cured cancer, because certainly I have not, you know, we are able to provide these guys with a greater quality of life and quantity of life than the oncologist very frequently expect to see. So they're living longer and they're doing better and they're living happier than they otherwise would.
Well, we appreciate everything that you do. Where can everyone find out more information about you? And again, you're in the San Francisco Bay Area. And where can they find your book, The Ultimate Pet Health Guide?
Probably your easiest bet from the standpoint of the book is it's on Amazon.
Okay.
can get it either as an old school hard copy, like I still like them, but there is an ebook version as well. So whichever's your preference. And if people want to learn more, they can go to either holisticvetcare.com, which is the office website, or mypetthrives.com, which is an educational site about holistic and integrative care.
Yeah, and there's a lot of information there that is fantastic. So I highly encourage people to check it out. Dr. Richter, thank you so much for spending time on the show and giving us great information. I hope that our listeners, if they are not familiar with holistic therapies, that this might nudge them to check it out. Would love to have you back on the show again in the future.
Sounds great. I look forward to it.
Thanks again to our sponsor, Canonine. Remember to check out all the quality Canonine products and help your dog find relief at canonine.com. And be sure to use the code WAG20 for 20% off plus free shipping. You have nothing to lose because it all comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Thanks for listening to the WAG Out Loud podcast. If you enjoy the show, please be sure to subscribe for free, and we'd love to hear your comments. You can find out more by visiting wagoutloud.com, and there you'll find great product recommendations, amazing online events, and fantastic resources. That's also where to visit our Bark About It page, where you can suggest topics, guests, or products. Be advised that this show offers health and nutritional information and is designed for educational purposes only. You are encouraged to do your own research and should not rely on this information as a substitute for, nor does it replace, professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you have any concerns or questions about your dog's health, you should always consult with a veterinarian or a nutrition expert. Have a tail wagging day. Catch you next time.